There will be no strawberries and cream at Wimbledon this summer. The All England Club has canceled the tennis tournament, the first time that's happened since World War II, and it's just the latest major sporting event to join the list of those derailed by COVID-19. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. And Mike, you know, Wimbledon canceled, the French Open pushed back till after the U.S. Open was supposed to start in late August. You know, I'm a tennis fan, and I'm finding myself thinking, okay. It just feels like we're in a time where, all right, no sports.
Yeah, yeah. And the plans to push them back, I mean, those are just that. Those are plans. Right now, the Billie Jean King Tennis Center, where the U.S. Open is held, is a staging area. It's a hospital. It's a mobile hospital. And the reason that Wimbledon canceled and didn't postpone, as opposed to those other ones, is because Wimbledon is, of course, an all-grass tournament. You can only really play in summer and spring. And they decided, as you say, the first time since World War II, the only other time was World War I. So that puts it in perspective what we're up against if it's this and two world wars to cancel Wimbledon.
Yeah, we're up there with world wars. And you know, I think a lot of people are just grasping this because... not to put to put too fine a point on it, there was the sense of, you know, filling the pews by Easter. Now there's a sense of we're probably not going to be doing much till the fall. And certainly people aren't going to be flocking to stadiums. So talk about leagues that suspended their seasons, the NBA, the NHL. Go ahead.
I do think people are going to be very reluctant to flock to stadiums. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the fault of the commissioners of the leagues when they were perhaps optimistically saying, oh, we'll suspend until April, or in baseball's case, until May. But those do seem unrealistic. They seem especially unrealistic on sports that really do rely on the live gate. So not football, which is a television sport mostly, but basketball, definitely the NHL, absolutely dependent on people coming to those stadia. And without a test that can be administered quickly, I mean, you're going to have to try to get 20,000 people into the gate with this Abbott test that we talk about. It takes 5 to 13 minutes. It just seems unworkable. Both the NHL and the NBA have toyed with plans of pushing the season back into the summer and having a truncated season. But again, those are just plans, and they do not know what's going to happen.
You know, we're going to be talking to futurists next week, Mike, but I don't know if you've been looking that far down the road. Do you think we're looking at big changes in how we gather and how we watch or play sports?
Yeah, I think we have to, because the coming together, even though we talk about how important sports are as televised properties, the coming together is very important for them economically, but it also gives the players and gives the fans real meaning. So sports played or conducted professional sports apart from thousands of people thronging together just are in sports. And we heard, you know, LeBron James and others say, I don't want to play if it's not in front of fans. So that will have to be a recalculation. And the big thing is when all these epidemiologists talk about waves, some of the scheduling of these sports would be right about where, if all goes well, there could be a second wave.
Right.
And you would hate for your sporting event to take on the sheen of that Philadelphia parade during Spanish influenza, where everyone points to, you know, a Rangers Blues game as this vector of contagion.
Yeah.
So they really, really have to rethink this, as society does.
Well, meanwhile, what they're doing, and I'm talking about the TV networks now, is they're airing things that, I mean, I looked up at one point and there was this women's hockey game, and I apologize, I don't even know what it was, but it was from a long time ago. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I never saw that, you know, ice hockey. And, you know, they're airing things. Well, tell us what they're doing.
Well, they're doing some cherry spitting. They're doing some ESPN has that network they call the Ocho, which is based on a joke in the movie Dodgeball, and they're airing some of that. I was surprised to learn, though, the last full week of full sports, ESPN was averaging just over a million viewers. And with a week of absolutely not only no live sports, but nothing to cover, they're averaging 544,000 viewers. It's not that bad. They had been predicting an 80% drop-off. It looks like a 50% drop-off. I think the NFL, because there was a lot of off-season news, the NFL has been the one lifeline, if you will, for ESPN programming. And the NFL draft will be, I mean, it always puzzled me why it was such a big sporting event when it really is just an exercise in human resources. But I understand it now. This will be become the closest thing to an actual sporting event the country has seen for months when they stage the NFL draft.
Right. Well, and by the way, ESPN, for instance, has to get some of the league's permission to re-air stuff. And so there was Tom Brady's greatest games on one weekend. And I just want to point out what people are at home are doing, Mike. This is some of the most fun. Like, there's a family with a lot of adult brothers who put together a video of each of them in different parts of the country threw a baseball to one frame, you know, of a picture, and then the other seemed to catch it, and they made it look like they were all playing baseball together. So people
to point out that is more action than a regular baseball game, so that's part of its appeal.
Mike Pesca here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thank you.
You're welcome.